Today's daf is Mem Dalet. We're going to go back and review what we ended with yesterday about Shmuel's Shita. So Shmuel says, if you look in the middle of Mem Gimel Amud Bet, Shmuel says, Haiman de osfe alfa zuze l'chavre, umashkan lekata de magla. So you take a loan out for 1,000 zuz, and you give as collateral a handle of a sickle. Avad kata de magla, avad alfa zuze. Right? You lose that collateral, the malva loses it, the loan is canceled. Okay, and we ended with yesterday that we said, well, according to him, I'm skipping the other opinions about the details, whether it was also, you know, whether you took a kata and a piece of anascha, a piece of silver. We're going to not relate to that right now, but they said that Shmuel is difficult with the Mishnah because the whole case in the Mishnah was the guy lost the collateral and there was a debate about what the value of the collateral was. So if Shmuel's right,
then the value doesn't have any relevance.
Then the value doesn't matter because the loan is totally canceled. So the Mishnah ended, the Gemara ended with saying, "Oh, there are two different cases: matnitim b'deparish, Shmuel b'delo parish." The Mishnah was in a case where the malva took the collateral, he specified, "I'm taking this not as." I'm not assuming responsibility of loss, that if it's lost, the loan will be canceled. Okay? Whereas Shmuel will be in a classic case where if nothing was specified, the assumption is that the collateral is basically to cover the loss. And the way it works is, again, you have to try to figure out Shmuel's logic. Shmuel's logic seems to be that when the malva takes a collateral, he's basically saying, I'm taking this. And he assumes a level of responsibility that if he can't take care of the lovis item properly, well, then basically the loan is off. Okay? In other words, it's a kind of way of saying, you know, we're making an agreement. I'm going to take a collateral, but if for some reason the collateral gets lost, well, I'll assume responsibility. And according to that, that's a Stam case. However, what I ended with is saying that there's others, like Rabbeinu Hanano, Rabbeinu Tam, who have the opposite nusach, which is that they neutralize Shmuel a little bit, and they say that Shmuel is only in the case where you specified. But if you didn't specify, then we're going to go like our Mishnah. That obviously you meant, you have to remember, in most cases the collateral gets returned. Usually he doesn't lose the collateral. But if you were to lose the collateral in a basic case, then it would be a debate about what the value of the collateral was, and he would get it back. But only if the creditor, the malva at the time, specified, I'm taking this collateral, and if I lose it, I will assume responsibility. Okay, then it will, you know, be security for the entire loan. Then we're going to say that Shmuel works, right? Shmuel is basically saying, in that case, that will be the halacha, even if it's not worth much. So Rabbeinu Tam says, well, what's the chiddush then? If the creditor specified that explicitly, then why do you even need to tell us that? So Rabbeinu Tam has an interesting answer. He says, if you remember, we learned the case of asmachta. What's asmachta? Asmachta is when you say, right, if this, then I'll do, you know, if I don't work your land, then I'll pay you elef zuz. Or, you know, and there were cases of where it's in complete exaggeration. And if you don't really mean what you say, then maybe that's asmachta and asmachta lo kone. Okay, there's homachloget asmachta kone. Is it not? What cases is asmachta? Okay, but it's basically like gambling, we said, might be asmachta because you don't really intend to give up the money. Right. So, anyway, it's a debate about asmachta is a kone or not, but what Rabbeinu Tam is saying is the chiddush is that if you say asmachta is lo kone, well, this isn't asmachta. In other words, even though he's taking the handle of a sickle in place of the entire loan, really, in this case, you can say the collateral is connected, the whole loan, even though it's not worth even close to the amount. Okay? And we don't put it in the category of a smachta. And that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. The chiddush will be according to that. Okay? You have to remember, in general, there's a debate about mashkon, whether mashkon is coming to just remind us that there's a loan here, so that when you go to the lova and say, give me my money back, the lova doesn't say, what are you talking about? He says, well, here's my proof. I have this item you gave me as collateral. So it's a way of proving that there was a loan. Or is it really ligvia for collection purposes? And Shmuel would have to view it as for collection purposes, and therefore you've basically collected it already, even though you haven't right? That the collateral is so that you have something that you've collected from the lofa, and therefore, if you lose it, well, then that was it for you. You know, you've collected. So, okay, now we're going to try to say that Shmuel, we're going to suggest that Shmuel is based on a Machloket Tanaim. The structure of the Gemara, I'll give it to you from the beginning so it'll make it easier. We're going to try to suggest that Shmuel's halacha is actually a Machloket Tanaim, whether we agree with him or not. Remember, Shmuel came after the Tanaim. The point is that he sides with one Tana and a Machloket. Then we say, no, you're mistaken. And then we're going to go into a bunch of different attempts to understand what the actual machloka we're going to see. You can see on the chart, there's a machloka, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Akiva. We're going to try to fit it into Shmuel. Then we're going to have three other attempts to understand what the machloka is between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva, which has nothing to do with Shmuel. So we're basically going to suggest that, no, it's not. It doesn't have to do with Shmuel. It has to do with other things. Then we're going to try another machloka to try to see maybe Shmuel is based on that machloket Tanaim, okay? Maybe those Tanaim either agree with Shmuel or not. So that's going to be our structure for part of the daf. Lema Kitanai. So we're now starting 8 lines from the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Bet, or about 8 lines. Let's suggest it's a machloket Tanaim. Hamavet chaveiro al hamashkon va'avad hamashkon. You lend money to a friend with a collateral, and the collateral gets lost. Yishava v'yitolet ma'utav devera b'liezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you swear and you get your money back. Okay? So you swear that it was lost and you collect the money. That obviously doesn't agree with Shmuel, right? But again, we're going to have to see. It doesn't tell you here whether it was shaveh, right? Where the collateral was worth the same amount or wasn't worth the same amount, but we'll try to figure out which one it's talking about. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yacholu Sheyomar Lo, Klum Vitani El Al Hamashkon. Didn't I lend you only, with this collateral? Avana mashkon, avduma otecha. Okay, the lova can say, what do you mean? I gave you this collateral as security. If you lost my collateral, then loan is over. Okay, you lost your money. Aval, but okay, and this is a side thing. They both agree that hamalve elef zuz bishtar. If you loan him elef zuz with a shtar, I didn't read that right, with the stress on the right place. Hamavel elef zuz bishtar, if you have a shtar, v'hiniach mashkon biyado, divrei hakol avdu, avada mashkon avdu ma'otav. Okay, so now if you have a shtar, then the shtar basically serves as security that you're going to get your money back. So the mashkon, you can't, right, I'm sorry, the opposite. If that's the case, you can't say that the mashkon was lezichron dvarim ba'alma. Remember, there's either it's zichron dvarim or it's ligvia. If it's ligvia and you lose the mashkon, then your loan is erased because you basically collected it. So in the case where you have a shtar, you don't need the mashkon for zichron dvarim because you have a shtar to remember. You can bring out a shtar to prove that the loan wasn't repaid. So therefore, in that case, clearly the mashkon is ligviyah, and everyone would agree, even Rabbi Eliezer, that avada mashkon avduma utav, okay, loses his loan. So now
that's
the Gemara says...
not where the way I thought that one was going.
Oh, okay.
Because it seems to me if there's external proof, which is the shtar, it makes the collateral irrelevant in either case, whether he loses it or he doesn't lose the shtar.
No, so the issue is really, you understand it, that it's an addition, okay? That now that you have this additional mashkon, it must be for collection purposes. Hechidami, so what's the case that they're arguing about? If it's worth the exact value of the loan, then my time is Rabbi Eliezer. That doesn't make any sense. If I lent you 1,000 zuz and you gave me a collateral worth 1,000 zuz and I lost that 1,000 zuz, how could you not say that that's ligvia? It's very hard to say that if you gave me something that was worth the exact value, wasn't your point, well, if I don't return you the money, keep my collateral? And in this case, if the malva loses that collateral, he basically got it for collection purposes. So Rabbi Eliezer doesn't make any sense. So therefore, it must be el alav b'dilo shavishir zuze. It must be where it's not worth the value of the item, in which case, what's the machloket? Which is Shmuel kamiflagay? And then they're basically arguing, do they agree with Shmuel that if it's not shaveh, then you could still say it's ligvia, and even though it doesn't cover the whole cost, we're going to say your whole loan is canceled, and that's Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Lazar says, no, since the mashkon wasn't worth the whole thing, it was only lezichron dvarim, it wasn't ligvia, the fact that the guy lost it, so he lost it, but it has no bearing on the loan. The loan still has to be repaid. Because it was just to have a remembrance, right, that we have a loan. So then the Gemara, so that's, and then they say, oh, and there you have it. Shmuel is machloka tani. So now the Gemara wants to say, no, lav dafka. Lo, bidelo shave. Okay? We're going to go back to say, it's bidelo shave, but kule am, I'm sorry, I'm not reading it right. Lo, bidelo shave kule am alet lehu bidishmuel. If it's in the case of lo shave shir zuze, nobody agrees with Shmuel. We're going to basically say, you can explain both Rabbi Elazar and both Rabbi Akiva. In that case, nobody agrees with Shmuel. What's their machloket about? It's not in a case with Dilo Shave. Their machloket is, in fact, what we rejected in the beginning. Hacha bidish shave shir zuze. When the loan is, in fact, worth the exact amount. So now you could say, well, what's the machloket? Isn't it obvious if it's worth the amount and the malva loses it that the loan is canceled? Not lav dafka. What's their machloket about? So now we're going to say it's a different machloket. Uba de Rabbi Yitzchak ha-mifligay. Their machloket is about Rabbi Yitzchak, who we've seen a whole bunch of times. De'amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Minayin le'bal chov shekone mashkon. How do you know that the Baal Chov actually acquires the mashkon? What does it mean he acquires the mashkon? He acquires it like a gazlan would acquire, which means he holds responsibility for the item. Now, there's a bit of a debate, again, as usual, we saw this yesterday, what level of responsibility? Is it that he's chayav also in onsim even, like a shoel? Or is he like a shomer sachar, where he's only chayav in gineva v'aveda? But whatever, however you read it, the point is that Rabbi Yitzchak holds that a Baal Chov is kone, he assumes responsibility for the item. Okay, the Baal Chov is kone the mashkon, and he assumes responsibility. If it was shave, the amount, if it was elef zuz, and the loan was elef zuz, then what happens? The loan is canceled. That's Rabbi Akiva. And if you say, like Rabbi Elazar, that the loan wasn't canceled, then you'd have to say Rabbi Elazar doesn't agree with Rabbi Yitzchak. He doesn't think that a Baal Chov is kone the mashkon. You follow? That he thinks that the Baal Chov doesn't assume any responsibility. So that's the machloka between them. Do we agree with Rabbi Yitzchak or do we not agree with Rabbi Yitzchak? Again, just like with Shmuel, the Tanaim came before Rabbi Yitzchak. He's an Amora. But we're saying that that's what that Rabbi Yitzchak is expressing, what the machloka was really, you know, one of the sides of the machloka. So let's see, where does Rabbi Yitzchak learn that Baal Chov is kone mashkon? Shenemar ulechati etzdaka. Right, this is the pasuk. You have to return. Hashem tashiv lo et ha'avot b'kivo ha'shemesh. V'shachav v'salmato u'be'erachecha. Okay, right. You have to let him, you have to return the mashkon so he can, right, so he can sleep with his blanket that you took. U'be'erachecha. And you will be blessed for this. U'lechati et tzedaka l'fnei Hashem elokecha. And this will be viewed as something, a tzedaka, a good thing that you're doing. Right? What does it mean? It's such a good thing that you're doing. Imei no kone mashkon tzedaka minayin lo. If he doesn't actually acquire the item, well, then the item belongs to the loved. His returning it is just returning something that belongs to the loved. So therefore, what must we say? We must say that a Baal Chov acquires the mashkon for levels of responsibility, and therefore, the fact that he acquires it means that when he returns it to the loved, he's actually returning, he's returning something he didn't necessarily need to return, okay, because he acquired it. So then we're going to say, so that's our sense that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva are arguing about this machloket. Do we hold like Rabbi Yitzchak that Baal Chov is kone mashkon or not? Then the Gemara says, Lema de Rabbi Yitzchak Tanayi? You really think that Rabbi Yitzchak's statement is a machloket Tanaim? And then furthermore, v'tizbera, and not only that, but it doesn't make any sense. Why? Because Imor de'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, if you remember the last time we learned this, or one of the times we learned this, we said this, when Rabbi Yitzchak says about Chovis Kon and Mashkon, he's not talking about, let's say what he is talking about. Imor de'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Shem Mashkeno Shelo Bishat Halva'ah. Mashkeno Bishat Halva'ah, Mi Amar? He wasn't talking, let's start what he wasn't talking about. He wasn't talking about a case like ours. What was our case? Where when we took out the loan, when I borrowed the money, I gave you a collateral. Rabbi Yitzchak's not talking about that case. Rabbi Yitzchak's saying, in that case, maybe it's only Zichron Dvarim, right? Maybe it's not Ligvia. But when was Rabbi Yitzchak saying that a Baal Chov is Koneh the Mashkon? When you took a Mashkon later. What does it mean later? Why would you take a Mashkon later? Let's say I borrow money from you and you come to collect and I don't give you my money. I say, I'm sorry, I don't have the money. So what do you do at that point? you take collateral from me. Now, at that point, when you take collateral, you're clearly koneh demashkon because you were clearly taking it just in case at that point there's a chashash that I'm not going to pay you back. There's a big concern. And therefore, when you took it at that point, you're taking it because you're assuming I'm not returning the money. So that's the case where you're koneh mashkon. So again, what does it mean you're koneh mashkon? It means that when I go to return the money and you don't have that mashkon anymore because you lost it, well, I'm going to say, okay, well, too bad. I'm not giving you money because you have my mashkon in place of it. Okay? And then we'd say that when Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva debate, well, that's talking about Hamavet Chaveru Ala Mashkon. There it specifically says it's when you took the mashkon at the time of the loan. So you can't say it's the machlok at Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yitzchak was talking about a different case. Okay? So therefore, we reject that understanding. So again, just to review, we started with saying maybe the machlok at Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva is based on, do they agree with Shmuel or not agree with Shmuel? We rejected that. We said, oh no, it really has to do with whether they agree with Rabbi Yitzchak or not. But now we rejected that, so we're going to try again. Ela mashkeno shelo b'sha... Okay, so Ela mashkeno shelo b'shat havato... But, right, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva would agree, in the case of Rabbi Yitzchak, that if you took a mashkon when it's not shat hava'ah, meaning when you he came to collect the loan and the guy didn't pay you back, you took a mashkon, then kulam alo pligi de'eat later Rabbi Yitzchak. Everybody agrees with Rabbi Yitzchak. V'hacha, but our case is b'mishkano b'shat hava'ato, and therefore, what's the machloket? B'shomer avedaka miflegei. They're arguing about the same machloket that exists in a shomer aveda. What's a Shomer Aveda? A Shomer Aveda is when I find a lost item that I'm required to return, say it has simanim, so I take it into my house, and then what do I have to do? I have to announce that I've found this lost item and publicize and try to return it. In the interim, it's in my house. What do I have to do? I'm a Shomer on it. I have a responsibility. The question is, what's my level of responsibility? Machloket about this. D'itmar also saw this. Shomer Aveda, Rabba Amar Kishomer Chinam, Rabbi Yosef Amar Kishomer Sachar. Okay, Rabbi says you're a Shomer Chinam. Why? You're not getting paid for this. You're a Shomer Chinam. So your level of responsibility is if it were lost or stolen, what do? You'd swear about it, and then you'd be patur from returning it at that point. But if you hold like Rabbi Yosef, what does Rabbi Yosef say? You're a Shomer Sachar, which means what? You've accepted responsibility. So what's the machloket here? That Rabbi Eliezer will say, it's right. He says yishavavi tolem ha'utav. He doesn't assume any responsibility. He swears and then gets to pay his money back. That's just like a shomer chinam. You swear and you don't have to you don't have to return anything. Here also, the guy doesn't have to return the mashkon and he can still get his loan back because we view him as a shomer chinam. Rabbi Akiva holds no. The mashkon was keneged the loan, and therefore we're going to say you don't have the mashkon. You assume responsibility. That was worth the amount of the loan. The loan is canceled. Okay, and what's the logic of saying he's a shomer? Right, what's the logic of saying let's put it this way: why is a shomer aveda considered a shomer sachar? Because if you remember, we talked about this a while ago. He has a mitzvah; he's getting a mitzvah, right? He's doing a mitzvah by watching your item, and therefore he actually gets rewarded. What's his reward? That osek b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah, and if a poor person comes to his door asking for money, he doesn't have to give him money. So he actually gains financial benefit from it, okay, by watching your item, because he's patur from doing other mitzvah that might require him to spend money. So, particularly the ani. So, if that's the case, right, same with our case. When you give a loan, now here's a big debate about what the issue is. Is it just that you did a mitzvah by giving someone a loan, so you got the sachar mitzvah for doing this? Do we view it just like that? Or do we say no, the same thing? You're watching the person's item in your house, so while you're doing this mitzvah, again, there's a big debate about, do you have to be physically osek b'mitzvah, like if it's a rug, you're shaking it out at the time when the ani comes to the door, or just by virtue of the fact that you have this item in your house, you're doing a mitzvah, or just by virtue of the fact that you lend him money and you're now watching his collateral, you're doing a mitzvah. So is it that the reward of a mitzvah, or is it the reward that you basically don't have to give tzedakah to a poor person who comes to your door? Okay? Just want to see one thing. Right. Okay. So then the Gemara is going to say now that, okay, so right now we think that's the machloket. Do we view him as a shomer chinam because he's not really getting any reward? Because all the rewards that we're talking about are not exactly clear-cut rewards, just like by the shomer aveda, where it's not so clear-cut just because he doesn't have to give money to a poor person at the door. Right? It doesn't really seem like a mitzvah. So do we view him like a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar? And that's the machloket Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva. So then the Gemara says, Lema de Rav Yosef Tanaihi? Okay, now why is it only asked about Rav Yosef? Well, let's explain the question, then we'll ask. There's going to say, is Rav Yosef really what Rav Yosef says? Does he have to side with one side only? We can actually view Rav Yosef that he fits into both. Okay? Why don't we ask this question of Rabbah? Because Rabbah, who says he's like a Shomer Chinam, will not be able to say in the case of the loan that he's a Shomer Sachar. Now, if he holds Shomer Chinam by Aveda, he's not going to hold Shomer Sachar. But Rav Yosef, we can hold that if he holds Shomer Sachar by Shomer Aveda, he may not hold Shomer Sachar by the Mashkam case. Why? Okay, so they say, lo, b'Shomer Aveda dekule alma idluhu de Rav Yosef. We can say that in a Shomer Aveda case, even Rabbi Akiva would agree, I should say it the other way, right, I think I said it the other way, but let's say it like this. In a Shomer Aveda case, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that we're going to view it like a Shomer Sachar. Okay? When you're talking about Shomer Aveda, we could say that both Rabbi Eliezer and both Rabbi Akiva say you're doing a mitzvah, you're osek b'mitzvah, patrim in a mitzvah, and you're gaining this reward either by just doing the mitzvah or by the fact that you're not going to have to, you're getting financial benefit from not having to return, not having to give money to a poor person at the door. But when it comes to this case, hacha b'malvet tzarech l'mashkon kamiflege. Our case, now we're going to explain that this brayta that we quoted is actually a more complicated case than we thought. It's not a classic case. It's not any case where the malvet takes the mashkon. It's a case where the malvet needs the mashkon. Now, what does that mean? There's two explanations, okay? One explanation is that he's using the mashkon. If you remember, we had this in Bava Metzia also, that a malvet can use the item and basically pay rent on it, meaning every day he uses the item, he's going to cut a little bit more off the loan. So when you eventually return the loan, you're going to pay back a lot less because he's used this item. So it's a case where he needs the item, in which case, what are you going to say? Well, since he's benefiting it from it himself, you can't say, oh, he's doing a mitzvah, because he's getting his own benefit, which means he's no longer viewed in the mitzvah realm, in which case he's viewed as a shomer chinam. And that's the machloket. Is he a shomer chinam because he's getting benefit? Or do we still say, who cares he's getting benefit? He still is doing the mitzvah of lending the money. He's still patur from giving money to a poor person, and therefore we're going to view him as a shomer sachar. And that's the machloket. That's one way of understanding it. Okay, so again, let's read it inside. Mar savar mitzvah ka'avid. One says, no, it's still a mitzvah. Umar savar lad mitzvah ka'avid. And Rabbi Elazar is going to say, no, he's not doing a mitzvah, and therefore he's only like a shomer chinam. The other way of interpreting it, I think, is very interesting. Rabbeinu Chananel said, what does it mean he needs the mashkon? He needs the mashkon because the love is very poor. And he doesn't think he's actually going to get his money back. So when he takes the mashkon, he takes it with intent that it's going to be ligvia, basically. He needs it for the purposes of collecting his loan, in which case he's no longer viewed as doing a mitzvah because he's already kind of taken back the money from the person. Like he's taking the mashkon and having this for, you know, to patur him from other things, that's to other mitzvahs, it's not really part of the mitzvah because he basically needs it for Ligvia, and it's as if almost he collected the loan already. So therefore, he's not viewed as doing a mitzvah, according to Rabbi Elazar, and according to Rabbi Akiva, no, he's still viewed as doing a mitzvah, even though he needs the mashkon.
The case where he rents out the mashkon, that's also a possibility here. He needs it because, remember, there was a case where he's actually renting it out to people to start paying back the loan for the poor person.
Right. So you're saying that would be the same as him using it or him renting it out to other people.
Right. You could say it's no longer a mitzvah because he's renting it out.
Right. Right, exactly. It's the same as the first interpretation, which is basically he needs it, he uses it for his own sake to knock down the loan or maybe rent it out to other people.
It seems like he's almost buying it because the poor person needs the money, but he knows he's not going to get it. So it's like, I'm buying this for you here. Now you take the money, I'll take it.
Right. Well, right. It's true. It is sort of like he's buying it, right? Which then means it's sort of like a sale, and it's not considered a mitzvah anymore.
Right.
Okay. Again, that's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva would still say it's a mitzvah. Okay, because again, why is it a mitzvah? Because he wasn't really planning to buy an item. He did it because the guy needed the money. So that's a mitzvah. Okay, it's an interesting philosophical debate, right? Is it really, are you doing something good for the other person? Or if you have your own self-interest, is it now considered a mitzvah? It's very interesting.
It over the, like you say, okay, I'll buy, like not buy it, but okay, I'll take this mashkanta, but assuming that it's worth less than...
Right.
So you're like paying extra for the money just to help the guy.
Right. So then it's also a debate. It's not clear here whether it's more or less, and you know, whether we're still, I assume we're still in the case where it's Shevishi or Zuze, okay, which we said earlier, right? We're assuming where it is worth the amount of the loan. Mm-hmm. Okay. Lema Kitinai, right? What you're doing, it's also a favor because you're not buying it. If the guy just needed the money, he would sell it, but he wants his item back eventually. So he's hoping, I'll use your money, I'll invest it, maybe get more money, I'll pay you back, and then I can get my item back. Whereas if you sell it, there's no getting it back. So you can also see that that's why it's also a mitzvah, that he's doing him a favor.
Like a pawn shop.
Right, right, exactly, like a pawn shop. Okay, so now this was all, let's just review. We started here to say that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are debating Shmuel. We now rejected it. We said, no, there's possible other debates going on here. It's actually not clear. We have four attempts to explain what they're possibly debating. The Gemara then goes back to suggesting maybe Shmuel is a different machloket tana'im. Whether we accept Shmuel or not is a different machloket tana'im. Lema kitanai. Ha'movet chavero ala mashkon b'nichnisa shmita. Now, if you remember, there's this halacha that there's different ways where Shemitah normally cancels out all loans. If you give your shtarot to the Beit Din, or your mavel amashkon, you give a loan with collateral, then the loan's not canceled. And again, this supports the opinion that mashkon is ligvia, it was for collection purposes, and not lezichron dvarim, and therefore it's as if the loan is already collected, so you're not going to cancel the loan because the loan is already collected. In other words, there's already the mashkon there. So now it says, if you're mavel chavero ala mashkon, nichnisa shmita. Af al pi she'eino shaveh el apalga, even if the mashkon is only worth half, eino meshameh, the loan is not canceled. Divrei Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi omer, im hayam mashkono kineged chovo eino meshameh, if it was worth the value of the loan, then the loan's not canceled. But im lav, if it's not worth the value, then meshameh, then it's canceled. So now, right, so your mashkon didn't fulfill the full amount. Let's say the loan was for 100 and the mashkon was for 40. Okay? So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, if your mashkon was 100, then the loan isn't canceled. But if your mashkon is 40, then the loan is canceled. Now, it's not exactly clear here. Is the whole loan canceled? Is part of the loan canceled? What are they referring to? So the Gemara says, Ma'ayin o'mashamein. What does it mean? Let's start with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. When he says, even if it's not Shaveh, even if it's, you know, only half, or let's just say 40, it's just easier, otherwise we're going to debate the 50 and the 50. We'll know which one we're talking about. Let's say it's worth 40. So I know Meshamet. My I know Meshamet to Kamar Tanakama. Ilema kinegdo. If it means that it's not Meshamet, the 40 that it's worth, meaning that in the end you're left with a 40 loan and the 60 is canceled, if that's what Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel means, by the way, they call Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel here the Tanakama, because he's the first Tana. Usually Tanakama is someone without a name. Here, for some reason, maybe the Gemara had a version that didn't have his name in it, and later they knew it was him and they added his name, because it's very rare that they talk about Tanakama when he's actually has a name. But anyway, so what's this Eino Meshameh that Rabban Shimon Gamliel says? So Ilema Kinegdo. So then Michlal, from here we can infer that what does Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi hold? Michlal, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Savar, because what did Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi say? Im Hayamash Kono Kineged Chovo Eino Meshameh. Vim Lav Meshameh. So what does he mean? Kinegdo Nami Meshameh. He would say that if you gave 40, then the 40, right, what you gave for the Mashkon would also be canceled. Now that would be weird, right? Ella, why would that, right? It doesn't make any sense. Ella, my toughest mashkon. What was the point of taking the mashkon if it wasn't going to keep your loan going? There's an assumption here, which we'll eventually reject, but the assumption right now is that the point of taking a mashkon is so that your loan won't be canceled. Mm-hmm. So what he's saying is, if if Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is saying that only the 40 stays, but the 60 is definitely canceled, then you would have to say that what does Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi hold? That even the 40 is canceled. If that's the case, what was the point of taking a mashkon? Obviously, the point of taking the mashkon was to make sure that at least 40 of it won't be canceled. So, the Gemara then says, no, el alav. Okay, and then, so therefore, el alav, it must be, it can't be that's the case. So what must be the case that they're arguing about? Keneged kulo. Okay, that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel thinks that just because you have a mashkon of 40, it means, really, that the entire loan is not canceled. And that would be Uba de Shmuel kamiflagei. And their exact machloket is Shmuel. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, well, if the mashkon was keneged kol chovo, if it was the full amount, then we're going to say, obviously, the loan isn't canceled. But if it's only keneged partial, right, then we're going to cancel. We're only going to view it as the value of what it was. Whereas that disagrees with Shmuel, because Shmuel said, we don't care what the value is. It's viewed as if it covers the entire loan. Okay, and that would be Rabbi Shram Shimon Gamliel Shita. So then the Gemara says, lo, you don't have to read that source that way. You could say, la'olam kenegdo, like we thought in the beginning. U'bahaka miflagei. Tanakama savar kenegdo. Tanakama says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, it's only the 40 that's not canceled. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi savar kenegdo nami mishameh. Really, the entire thing is canceled. And if you're going to say, so what was the point of taking the mashkon? Ah, the zikron dvarim ba'alma. There we go. On our other side of them, right, is it zikron dvarim or ligvia? It's purely viewed as zikron dvarim. And since you didn't take the mashkon on the whole thing, and it's, if you took it on the whole thing, then it's clear it's ligvia. And then what he's saying is, hamavel mashkon ein shvit meshameted is only going to be if it's the full value, if then you're doing it ligvia, and it's clear you're doing it ligvia, in which case we're going to say, oh, well, that's a loan that we're obviously not going to cancel because you already have your money for it. We're going to keep it. But if it's not worth the full value, then we're going to assume your mashkon. It's very interesting. What he's saying is mashkon has a different purpose depending on how much you give. Right. A mashkon that's a smaller amount is just the zichron dvarim. Like when you leave a driver's license somewhere. It's just to make sure you actually return the item, like you go ice skating and you take shoes and they're worried you're going to steal the shoes, I don't know why, or the ice skate. So they take your driver's license as a, you know, or ping pong, right? That's the classic, right? Ping pong balls. I don't know why they're worried you're going to take the ping pong rackets and the balls, right? But, you know, you go to a play, they take a driver's license. It's just to make sure you return it. It's not that actually they're going to keep it and it's really worth something. Okay, so therefore, he says, that's what the machloket is, in which case, we've tried two attempts at saying Shmuel is a machloket tana'im, and we've rejected them both, because these don't have to do with Shmuel. Hadron alach shvuat ha-dayanim. Okay, we're now moving. We started this parak with shvuat ha-dayanim, which is a shvuat mida'oraita, on the three things, so the erechad, the shvuat ha-shomrim, and the moda b'miktzat. When you take a shvuat do'oraita, you take a chefet, nikitat chefet, you have to take a sefer Torah and swear in the name of God. Okay, that's a shvuah midoraita. Midorabanan, we have a bunch of different shvuot. We're going to learn about now. We learned about a shvuat hesed, which is if you're kofer bakol, generally you don't have, right, you're a love who borrowed money and you deny the entire claim. Generally, right, only if you're modem mitzvah, you have to take a shvuah, but the rabbis institute a shvuat hesed, which we have in a whole bunch of different cases where you have to take a shvuat hesed. This was instituted like in the time of Rav Nachman, which is much later. We're now going to see a number of shvuot that the Tanaim instituted. Okay, which maybe are similar to shvuot hesed. Now there's a bit of a debate about all these shvuot to Rabbanan. Do they need nikita chepetz? Do they need shem Hashem or not? Or they viewed as more kal and therefore don't need it? Or maybe they're just viewed as more kal but they do need? Okay, there's a whole debate about this. It's not so clear whether they need all the criteria, the same things that a shvuot d'oraita does. But now we're going to learn, generally we say, nishba ve'eno mishalem, like the love. The love says, I don't owe you money. And the mava says, you owe me money. So the love is allowed to take a shvuah to exempt him from payment. This Mishnah is now going to discuss, kol ha-nishba'in sheba Torah, nishba'in ve'lo mishalmim. Okay, all the shvuah sheba Torah, the moda b'mitzah, the shomrim, right, the eid echad, is all to say, I don't owe you what you think I owe you. Right? Yeah, the item was stolen from me, you were a shomer. The moda b'mitzah, I gave you already this half, I don't want to pay the other half. The eid echad says, you know, you owe this guy money, and basically, you swear I don't. But now we're going to have a slew of shvuot that the rabbis instituted, that nishbein vinotlin. These are cases where you're allowed to, the they institute that you can swear and take money out of someone else's hands. Now, what's the reason for this? Generally, hamotzim echaver o alav haraya, you don't have a raya, why are we allowing you to swear? We're allowing you to swear. Again, there'll be different reasons for different cases, but a bunch of them fall into this category. There's circumstantial evidence, or there's reason to believe that you're telling the truth. Okay, we're going to have to go through, we're not going to get to all the reasons now. We'll see more when we get to the Gemara.
Which you.
About what?
Which you.
The person who wants to take the money from someone else. Okay, we'll see who this person is, depending on the situation. Okay, that person is allowed to swear and say, now I can collect my money. So they can collect their money based on, right, they can take a shvuah to collect their money. That's like a schut we're giving them. We're allowing them to swear to get their money. Where generally, you can only swear to exempt yourself from paying, which means that you'd be at a loss if you try to claim money from someone and, you know, you won't get your money. So in this case, we're allowing you to get your money as long as you're willing to swear about it. Because again, the evidence is not clear-cut, but there's circumstantial evidence, let's say at least in some of the cases, or reason to believe, whether it's circumstantial evidence or otherwise, there's reason to believe you're telling the truth, that you really owe the money, and therefore we let you swear and get your money. So who are these people? Hasachir, okay, a worker. Okay, a worker who's owed money, the Baal HaBayit hasn't paid him, or he claims the Baal HaBayit hasn't paid him, the Baal HaBayit says, I paid you. He's allowed to swear to get his money. There's going to be a long back and forth about why this is. It actually is similar to things we saw most of this in Bava Metzia already. Vehanigzal, someone who was robbed, can say, you stole this from me, and he can swear and get his item back. Vehanechbal, someone who was attacked by someone and is owed damages. And this is another category that we've seen before, shekenyedo chashur ala shvua, right? Where someone else is supposed to take the shvua, but he can't take a shvua because he's chashur ala shvua, so the shvua flips to the other side and you can take the shvua. Vichen vani al pinkaso, right? When a storekeeper, you pay him on credit, and then he claims you owe him, and you say, I don't owe you, I paid you, so he's allowed to swear to get his money. So now we're going to go into detail all these cases. Hasachir ketzad. Amar lo, ten li schari sheyesh li biyadcha. So he says, give me the money that you owe me. I worked for you, give me the money. Hu omer, natati. He says, I already paid you. Vala omer, lo natati. And the worker says, I didn't get any money. Hu nishba benotel. So he gets to swear. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with, I can't remember, it's all the cases. I think it's all the cases. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad shetehesham miktsat hoda'a. There has to be a modeh b'miktzad. It doesn't work if there's no modeh b'miktzad. He doesn't agree with these shvuot. He says, you can't possibly be nishba v'notel. Now, even though generally modeh b'miktzad, you're only nishba v'eino mishalem, right? You're allowed to swear to exempt you from returning the money, right? Let's say you're a loveh. In this case, what Rabbi Yehuda says is, the chiddush in these cases is, even though you want to get your money, in other words, you're allowed to get your money in a case where you're modeh b'miktzad. You're allowed to take the money out of the other person's hands. So if you're a sachir, you can swear to get your money, your salary, but only if you're modeh b'miktzad. Only if you say, okay, like this, ketzad, amar lo ten li schari 50 dinar sheyesh li biyadcha, okay, pay me 50 dinarim that you owe me, v'hu omer, Hitkabalti dinar zahav. So who's modeh b'miktzad? The Baal HaBayit says, listen, I agree that I owe you the money, but I already gave you half the amount. A dinar zahav is 25 dinarim of kesef. So he's saying, right, I already paid you half the amount. So if he's modeh b'miktzad, then, now generally modeh b'miktzad, usually what would happen in this case? Modeh b'miktzad would say, who is modeh b'miktzad? Not the person who's swearing. Okay? Here, it's the Baal HaBayit who owes the money, who admits half. He says, I paid you half, and it's true, I owe you half, but I only owe you half. I don't owe you the full amount. And in that case, we allow the worker to swear to get the other amount. So it's a flipped modeh b'miktzad, because the shvu is not on the one who's modeh b'miktzad. The shvu is on the one who wants to get his money back. Okay, we're going to see again in the Gemara why this is the case. Nigzal, ketzad. What's the case of a nigzal? Hayumi idinoto shenichnas lebeito lemashkeno shelo bereshut. So there were edim that said that he came into his house to take a collateral without permission. Hu omer kelei natalta. He says, you grabbed my kelim and took them. V'hu omer lo natalti, and he says, I didn't take them. Right, 1 second. He says here, and I think he's saying that he took them. 1 second, I want to just check one thing. Right, he went to take a mashkan. This is what he went to go take an item for collateral for a loan, but without the permission of the owner of the house. And without the permission of the court. Now, the court didn't say you're allowed to go take a collateral. Okay, so he went in his own volition basically to take a collateral, which is basically stealing, right? No, he didn't have any permission to take a collateral. And then, so there's Edim that said he took a collateral, but, wait, the Edim said he took a collateral, and he said, right, you took them without permission, and the Malva says he didn't take them at all. Right, so how could he say he didn't take it at all if there's Edim? 1 second. Right, if you remember, the lova can't go into your house to take it. You have to bring it to him outside. Right, there's a bit of a problem here. It says the Ravid asks a question here about the Lashon and the Mishnah, because I guess we'll see it when we get to the Gemara. There seems to be a bit of a problem, because how could he say, I didn't take it, if there's Edim that said he took it? Okay, so we'll get to it when we get to the Gemara. So he says, "Hu amar lo natalti." So hu nishba v'notel. Okay, since there was some sort of testimony here, which obviously wasn't conclusive testimony, but there's some sort of testimony. So we agree that that the owner of the house can say he's nishba in order to get his item back. Rabbi Yehuda omer ad shteisha mitzad hoda'a. Okay, like he said before, kitzad amar kitzad amar lo shnei kelim natalta v'hu amar lo natalti ela echad. So now this makes a little more sense in terms of the case, right? It wasn't so clear what he took. So there's a debate now. Did he take two things or did he take one thing? So there, again, it's modeh b'miktzat. And then, you know, that's why we would say in that case, he's allowed to swear to get the second item back. Nechbal ketzat. What's the case of nechbal? Hayumi idinoto shenichnas tachat yado shalem. Okay, so there was testimony that he went into the house in one piece. V'yatza chavul. In other words, he went to a room with this guy, and he was in perfect condition, and he walks out, and he has a broken arm. Okay, so that's circumstantial evidence, right? It's not clear exactly how he broke his arm. Hareze nishba v'no... I'm sorry, I skipped. Amar lo chavaltabi. So he says, I have this broken arm because you attacked me. V'hu amar lo chavalti. And he says, I didn't. So hareze nishba v'no tel. You can swear to get his money of nizaki. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad shtesha miktzad oda, ketzad. Amar lo chavalta bishtayim, v'amar omer lo chavalta b'chayel echad. Right? He says, you broke my arm and you broke my leg. And he says, what are you talking about? I only broke your arm, I didn't break your leg. Okay, a little hard to believe, right? Okay. Shekenegdo chashur ala shvua, ketzad. Echad shvua reidu, echad shvua repikadon, v'afilu shvua chav. Okay, and then what does it mean that the person, now we're going to define, what's a person who's chashur ala shvua? So either he took a shvua reidu, meaning, right, this good review, he came into court and said, I don't know testimony for this person, and it turns out he did. Okay, so then he's chashud ala shvua, because he actually swore falsely. Or he said, I swear shvua to pikadon. He said, I swear the item was stolen from me, and it wasn't stolen from him, and therefore it's clear he swore falsely. Va'filu shvua chav, or even if he said, I swear that the moon is the sun, or something like that. All those things is chashur al shvua. In addition, hayacha mehem esachik b'kubiya. Okay, all the other psulei edut that we've seen. Is we have people who swore falsely, and then we have people who are generally pasulei edut because they were gamblers, which again is either because of asmachta or because it's only a gambler who's a full-time gambler who is in osek b'yishavo shel olam and worried he's going to try to get a quick money fix and therefore will be lie under oath. Milave b'ribit. He loans money on interest, because again, he's showing money so important to him that he'll go against the Torah and loan on interest. Mafriche yonim are people who do betting on yonim, or there's two different interpretations there. If it's, he's a bird caller, where he kind of steals birds from other people, but not actually physically by taking them, but he whistles and lures them to him. V'sochare shvi'it, okay, there's a whole debate what exactly sochare shvi'it are. Are they people who sell, right, the classic is they sell produce in the Shemitah year, which is usur, right, they're making money off of forbidden stuff. So shekenegdo, in all these cases, the person who's opposite him, right, if they're supposed to take a shvua, al shekenegdo nishba v'notel. Hayu shnayim chashudim. What if they're both chashud al shvuah? Then what happens? Chazra hashvu'alim koma. Okay, Rashi tells us, but Gemara Mefarishla, it's not clear what this means. Okay?
Is it like cancel?
So we're going to have to see. There's different interpretations. Okay, it's not clear what this means. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so the first interpretation, okay, this is the first interpretation of what if both are chashudim? So Rabbi Yossi says, Chazar hashvu'alim koma. Rabbi Meir Omer Yachloku, they split it 50-50. Okay, that's the machlok of what you do here. Okay, last case we'll get to today. Hachemvani al pinkaso ketzad. What's the case of hachemvani al pinkaso? Lo shiomra lo katuva pinkasish atachayav li matayim zuz. It's not the case where he says, oh, you owe me 200 zuz. Ela omer lo tein lebenisa taim chitin, tein lepo alai sela maot. Okay, we've seen this case before. He says, listen, give me on credit. I go into a store and I say, give me on credit, but don't give it to me. Give it to my son or give it to my workers, okay? Because I owe them money, so you give them, pay them in chitim. Sela ma'ot, okay, an amount of sela ma'ot. Behu omer natati. And then what happens? The balabai, the chenvani says, I paid them. Vehen omrim lo natanu. And they said, we never got the money. Now, the person in the middle has no idea what the truth is. So the middleman loses out entirely. Because in this case, what happens? He has to pay twice. Because the chenvani says, I paid them and you have to pay me now because you owe me. And the workers say, you never paid me, so he has to pay them. So each of them can swear and get the money back. So Amar Benanas, Benanas says, Ketzad, Elu Ve'elu Ba'in Lidei Shvuat Shav. How could that possibly be? You're going to make, one of them is obviously lying. So how could you create a situation where the halacha is going to have a situation where someone's going to lie? Ela hu notel shelo b'shvuah, v'hein notelim shelo b'shvuah. He has to pay them both, but nobody swears, because Benanas wants to avoid shvuat shav. Okay, we'll stop here for today.